Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Stacey Dales, NFL Network correspondent.
Doing great. Good morning, everybody.
Breaking down the Bears beating news around the NFL.
What an absolute delight to be joined by the quarterback of the Chicago Bears. That is Caleb Williams. How has this thing been going for you, Caleb?
Yeah, it's been really fun.
Former WNBA star.
And the ball stolen away. Didn't see her coming, and Perkins gets the clean steal. Over to Dales, easy land. Stacey Dales off a beautiful feed from Elaine Powell.
Stacey Dales with Mully and Haw.
And I live in Chicago, and I do the Score radio, a little plug there.
Sure.
Every
670.
Week.
Shout out to the host.
This has been an emotional freaking roller coaster, you guys.
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to Stacey Dales, and she joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Stacey, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, guys. I'm doing well. I've kind of recovered from the cold that kind of saddled me last week after my London trip. It's still lingering, but I'm up and running, and I'm actually headed to Detroit this weekend. So when the Bears game, I probably would have had the Commanders and Bears, but it got flexed to a later time slot, and you know, basically, we look to cover those early games. So I'm going to go see the current leader in the NFC North and the Detroit Lions on Sunday.
And you get to not see DeAndre Hopkins because apparently he's traded today. So,
yeah. Interesting, right? Not really, though, just to the point of like we kind of see like a blockbuster trade, you know, at some point in every NFL season. Remember when Christian McCaffrey went all the way over to the 49ers, you know, obviously Montez Sweat, right, a season
last
ago.
Year.
I don't think people really knew how big that would be until you look at what the Bears became when he started for them in week 9. And, you know, they have the second lowest scoring defense since he became a Chicago Bears, fewest points given up per game in the NFL in that span. So whereby, by the way, the Commanders have the worst. So they give up more points than anybody in the NFL since Montez Sweat left. So it kind of makes you realize how important some of these trades come to be.
So, Stacey, for all the talk that is legitimate and justified about the NFC North being the best division in football and all the history being made with the teams having all the victories, is there a sense, a growing sense, that there are the Lions and then there's everybody else? Because of what they were able to do in Minnesota without Aiden Hutchinson and how that offense is functioning at such a high level?
I don't think in the division that's the case, David. It's us and everybody else. Like you're kind of scraps around us. Just look at the Bears. They're 4-2. And yes, they don't play a divisional game until week 11, which is nuts to me. I mean, I don't know how all of their divisional games fall after week 11. Like that is just not, that's super weird. But the Bears are 4-2 and, you know, like that's a pretty good record, but they're last in the division. I mean, we all watched Minnesota and Detroit play on Sunday. That could have gone either way. I mean, you're dealing with a quarterback in Jared Goff, whose clock management at this point, nearly a decade in the NFL is, you know, this is a guy he's on the cusp of a Super Bowl at some point. Like that's where he's at in terms of how he's playing football. He is the most efficient quarterback that I've sat down and just watched. I mean, he rarely has an incompletion. They are like a well-oiled machine offensively. I think where it gets real interesting, guys, is how good these defenses will be at the most important times in this division. Because I'm going to tell you right now, like I've seen in person all of these defenses. I've covered every one of these teams. They are all very opportunistic. And the Chicago Bears right now have 54 points off of takeaways. That is second in the NFL. Guess who behind? The Minnesota Vikings. So when I look at this division, I look like, okay, they all got their thing going on with the offense, right? Jordan Love's a good quarterback. They're starting to, as one coach told me after the Bears' victory in London, the young man grew up with just even a little bit more today. Mm. Like, he is on the ascend, Caleb. He's getting better and better and better, especially under pressure and under duress. We know what Sam Darnold has done, and we obviously know what Jared Goff has done. I'm looking at these defenses and which one is going to win games, you know, weeks 11 through 18. And I think each of them have an argument to say, we're pretty good. I mean, if there's one team who gives up a little bit in the pass game, it's the Detroit Lions, right? I mean, they will give up some stuff in coverage. So, you know, it's going to be – that's to me where who stays healthy, but then also, like, where these defenses kind of evolve for me and within the division.
Yeah, and I think with Hutchinson out, they also have other injuries. Their defensive line is really banged up. I'm curious as to whether or not they can or they will make a move, because that's the kind of team – that is Super Bowl or bust. And it wouldn't stun me if they made a move, but I don't know how they do it.
I don't disagree with you, because they just, the problem is like, and Dan Campbell talked about it this week, is, you know, they felt like Sam Darnold had the ball just a little too long. Now, I would argue that offensive line in Minnesota is top five in the NFL, but hands down. But he was able to hold the ball because they just couldn't get home up front, Molly, to your point. And what does that do? Well, that's where you get exposed in coverage. Right. And so you're right. I wouldn't put it past Brad Holmes to do something, you know, as we sit here entering week 8. But I also wouldn't put it past Ryan Poles to do something. I have no doubt that he's making phone calls right now about how they can put this. Now, this is all about a divisional race at this point to me, because – I mean, like, look at this game this week. The Bears have had a schedule that has enabled Caleb to grow and develop. The defense was winning for them at the start of the season. If they won a game, that's what it was because of, right? I think we can all agree. But now their offense is starting to figure out how to use, you know, for instance, DeAndre Swift, and who has the second most scrimmage yards in the NFL since week 4. It's been really brilliant to see his evolution in the offense. And so but that's just one part. That is one aspect. We haven't seen Romo Dunze have that type game, right, where we're waiting for it. It's coming. It's just a matter of when. So the schedule has been favorable, but now we're looking at these, like, what is going to push us over the top in the NFC North if you're the Bears or you're the Lions? And defensively, certainly to your point, Molly, there's no greater loss up front than an Aiden Hutchinson. I mean, it's catastrophic for any defense to lose a player like that.
So the Commanders come in, and with Jaden Daniels, they've been one of the most efficient, explosive offenses in the NFL. Without him, it's still a very good offense to be, I think, respected, if not feared, because Cliff Kingsbury has a way of scheming guys open, and you like what you've seen in the first part of this season. Stacey, how much of a challenge will that be for a Bears defense that has held their last 12 opponents to 21 points or fewer?
I don't think the Bears fear anybody defensively. That is a group, like, again, when you're down beside their group and you're sitting like a fly on the wall in a game with their defensive line coach coming over and their linebackers coach coming over and Flus coming over, they think they can beat anybody, and they're going to face a Commanders team. Yeah, they lead the league, and I think they're tied for first in 31 or 2 points per game. Jaden Daniels, I think he'll play. I don't know. Obviously, I'm not there, but everybody keeps saying it's not that serious. It's not serious. Well, to me, when I keep hearing that recurringly about his ribs injury, that means that there's no fractures. So it could be a very bad contusion where he got hit on the first snap last week and had to leave the game. But you know, their two losses this season are to teams with winning records. I guarantee you the Bears have talked about that. No game is easy in the NFL, but Tampa and Baltimore beat the Commanders. So I just think, you know, the psyche and the mindset, if I were to guess with this Bears defense, is it's kind of the mindset of Jalen Johnson. He thinks he's the best corner in the NFL. The Bears think they have the best defense in the NFL, and I don't think they care who they play right now.
This segment with Stacey Dales is brought to you by McGrath, Acura, and Westmont. When you do the math, you'll choose McGrath. Stacey, I'm wondering, you know, you talk about the aggressiveness of Poles, and you're sure he's working on something, and I don't deny it. I don't doubt it. I'm wondering if you could, when he calls you to say, hey, I'm thinking about doing this, what would you tell him to do? What does Stacey Dales say? No, go get this instead.
Oh, my God. We're living in fantasy land here. Give me my pick of my litter, right?
What would you gift the Bears if you could?
If I could gift the Bears anything, I would gift them a Max Crosby opposite Montez Sweat.
Wow.
And,
that's a good answer. That's a very good answer.
That would be my, if I had to circle a guy, not only because of the teammate that the guy is, but like just how hard he works, his motor. In a perfect world, I think Montez Sweat would fit very nice, Max Crosby would fit very nicely opposite Montez Sweat. And now you have a situation where you have two headaches and you've got to figure out how to scheme around them with one of the top, I would say, 3 to 5, like the Bears secondary is unbelievably good. I don't use that word a lot, but they're really good. They're playing together. The whole defense plays together. If I went to sleep and in my dreams I could find a player right now, that would be who it would be.
You know, the Bears defense is, as you say, is fears nobody, and the numbers speak for themselves. And the Max Crosby idea is tremendous, Stacey. I don't know how realistic it is, but it would be fun. You look at the Packers defense, and it has been opportunistic, and one of the biggest reasons maybe they are where they are, they certainly did a number on the Texans and CJ Stroud. The Vikings defense going into that game, the question would be, like, when you look at the division, is it more defined by the defense of the respective teams or the quarterbacks? Because we always talk about the quarterbacks, what quarterback would you rather have for the next 5 years, what quarterback is doing this or that, but I think that this has become a defensive division.
Yeah, but I think if you go historically and look back at it, hasn't it always been
good point? Yeah.
A team that has the bruising defense that can stop the run in December and freaking like January.
Yeah.
Aren't those the teams, like when the Bears last won the division, it was the 2018 season, as we all know, and the double doink year. But that defense, I'll never forget talking to players. Danny Trevathan, it was, in the locker room, I remember. He said, we're never going to have this again. Like, in the NFL, you play through this thing. Every single year, it is completely different. The energy changes. A player leaves. The dynamics change. When you get that, you have a special recipe and formula for success. I think the Bears have it. I think the Vikings have it. I think that they have really bought into Jeff Hafley in Green Bay. I think now it's going to be interesting to see the trajectory of the Lions without Aiden, because I mean, they're still figuring something. Like, Terrion Arnold's still figuring some things out. He gets a lot of penalties as a rookie. Like, you know, when you're down the stretch in the NFC North in these big momentous must win, truly, what is a must win game? Those penalties aren't going to fly in December, like, for your team. So I just think that there's what they're doing in Minnesota on that sideline in Minnesota, or excuse me, in London. And then when I just being around the Bears as much as I am, these are special groups and very unselfish, like talking with Jonathan Grenard, who's, you know, how Houston let him out of their hands, I don't know. But they all feel like in Minnesota they have something to prove. And so you get that kind of moxie with your group. I just think it's hard when, and then you're playing together. Like the Chiefs defensively play really well together. And obviously Chris Jones is a big part of that, but I think you're seeing a tightness in a couple of these North defenses that's really special, and it's going to help them in the playoffs unquestionably.
What do you think of the Bears' chances in Washington? Do you if does it come down to whether or not the quarterback plays?
I think
they're still pretty good with Mariota, but I'm curious. Do you like the Bears in the spot?
The Commanders. Listen, the Commanders, they put in Marcus Mariota, and he has six straight scoring drives.
Yeah.
He's a great improviser. Still, he's been around a lot of football, but I don't know. I mean, the thing about Jaden Daniels is his completion percentage has been off the charts, like 76%. So what is that? Like, to me, that is Cliff Kingsbury's putting him in really good situations. You guys said, like, they're getting the ball in space to create easy throws for him, and I think they did that early. They're obviously scoring points at a really high rate, but I just, it's the NFL. Like, I don't think that if Jaden Daniels is going to play, it's an automatic win for the Washington Commanders. No, because Caleb is growing at a very rapid pace. We haven't even talked about him, but, you know, since week four, I think, when I went back and looked a couple days ago, you know, against pressure, right? That's what we all wanted to know with Caleb Williams. Like, when was that light going to switch in his mind? And I think I said this to you guys last week. Two things that have stood out for the Bears when it comes to Caleb Williams: his vision at the line of scrimmage and his command. Those two things have improved, and they've improved so much that he's averaging about 9 yards per attempt against pressure since week four. So that jumped from like three. Remember all those, like, go back and look at some of the tape on some of those early throws. And now he's not only hitting some of those underneath things, but now the downfield ball has come alive. So he's growing exactly the way they want him to. And I think he's going home, by the way. He's from out there.
Right.
He's probably going to have a large fan base of family and friends. I think, and I said this last week, and I truly believe this. There's no moment, I believe, that's going to be too big for Caleb Williams. Having been around him, his level of accountability, and his fixation on improving his mistakes over his achievements is, to me, what's going to keep him on the upward trajectory.
Great stuff, Stacey.
Thanks,
I'm glad,
Stacey,
you're back. Welcome. Glad you enjoyed the bye week, and have a good time at the Lions-Titans game.
Thanks, guys. Look forward to next week, and it's always great to be with you.
That is Stacey Dales, and, you know, I didn't say it to her, but you did predict earlier that Montez Sweat would lead both teams in sacks in this game. I don't know how he's going to do it.
I don't think I said that.
Didn't you say that earlier?
No, I said that he did that last year.
Oh, I misunderstood.
Last year, and he was traded mid-season.
Didn't they have to stop him from hitting Caleb during the...
He did.
Yeah.
He thought he was in a Commander's uniform again.
I thought you were implying that he was going to be sacking both quarterbacks again.
No, I think that he will have his own motivation.
How about him and Max Crosby on the same
line? Oh, my gosh.
Seriously.
It still keeps that kind of hope alive a little bit.
But here's the problem. Like, the minute they don't make that move, I become hugely disappointed.
Yeah, well, it's okay to be hugely disappointed. As long as Max Crosby is still being shopped, as long as he's still saying things that make it clear that he wants out until he lands under the new team, because it could be the Lions.
No, it's going to be the Bears.
Okay.
They're going to trade Nate Davis for him, what I'm thinking.
Now you're talking clickbait.
Oh, there,
now
there
you're
I
Mr.
go
clickbait.
Again. I thought
there
you
go
were
again.
The clickbait
No, that's
guy.
You. You.
Okay, I knew it was one of us.
You and your socks jacket.
That's a sweet jacket. Cold. Thank
that's
you, buddy.
That's a very nice jacket.
I got it when Tony La Russa was the manager the first time. Huh? It's Mully and Haw on Chicago Sports Radio 670.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
The rib injury, which actually happened on that first long run, did play some snaps after, but did not look like himself, ended up watching the game from the sideline. My understanding is his status for this Sunday's big-time showdown with the Chicago Bears and Caleb Williams, a game so attractive it was actually flexed to the 4 p.m. spot, that is now very much in doubt. It is not a major injury. This is not something that's going to keep him out multiple games, but from my understanding, this is something to monitor, something to watch. It's something where it really depends on how he responds to treatment. You know, during the game, his mom Regina tweeted, he's fine. And that was kind of the last anyone said of it. Dan Quinn talking to reporters today saying, well, he's week to week, but he hopes that Jaden Daniels will be out Sunday. This is their franchise quarterback. He is someone who has clearly altered the face of their entire organization. They're going to be more cautious than anything when it comes to putting him on the field this Sunday.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score. That is Ian Rappaport from the NFL Network reporting what we kind of talked about yesterday. Actually, was it Monday when the report came out? We talked about it yesterday. Mm-hmm. The week to week was an unusual designation from Dan Quinn. The two of us wondered about it. Dustin thought that it might have been some sort of mind games type of thing. Dave felt that he's going to play, but it was just a weird designation.
It was, and I think that's good information from Ian Rappaport, yeah. And I think he put it in the same terms that we were thinking about it. There's tremendous risk involved if you bring back any player, but your franchise quarterback from an injury. It seems easier to say, shoot him up, numb the pain, let him play through it. If it's not a broken rib, then it's nothing to worry about. Easy to say.
Yes.
When you're talking about a guy who is to the Washington Commanders what Caleb Williams is to the Chicago Bears.
Right.
And so put yourself in that situation. If Caleb Williams were coming off a similar injury, would you want to rush him back onto the field? If you had a competent, capable backup like Marcus Mariota, and the Bears would believe in Tyson Bagent in that comparison. So I think that if they were going to err, it's going to be on the side of caution.
So you want Bajan to start on Sunday. Is that what we're hearing
Commanders.
Now?
No.
Clickbait.
No. Clickbait. Thank you. No.
Hey, before Chicago takes on Washington, make sure you tune in Sunday from noon to 3 for your local Ford dealers pregame show right here on 670 The Score. It's presented by Aurelio's. You can join the great Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley and some guy named Mully, and they'll get you set for the game. Then immediately following the game, the same three people will be back with instant reaction on the Great Clips postgame show presented by Sony Pictures Wonderverse.
Stacy Dales, NFL Network correspondent.
Doing great. Good morning, everybody.
Breaking down the Bears beating news around the NFL.
What an absolute delight to be joined by the quarterback of the Chicago Bears. That is Caleb Williams. How has this thing been going for you, Caleb?
Yeah, it's been really fun.
Former WNBA star.
And the ball stolen away. Didn't see her coming, and Perkins gets the clean steal. Over to Dales, easy land. Stacy Dales off a beautiful feed from Elaine Powell.
Stacy Dales with Mully and Haw.
And I live in Chicago, and I do the Score Radio, a little plug there.
Sure.
Every
670.
Week.
Shout out to the host.
This has been an emotional freaking roller coaster, you guys.
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to Stacy Dales, and she joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Stacy, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, guys. I'm doing well. I've kind of recovered from the cold that kind of saddled me last week after my London trip. It's still lingering, but I'm up and running, and I'm actually headed to Detroit this weekend. So when the Bears game, I probably would have had the Commanders and Bears, but it got flexed to a later time slot. And, you know, basically we look to cover those early games. So I'm going to go see the current leader in the NFC North and the Detroit Lions on Sunday.
And you get to not see DeAndre Hopkins because apparently he's traded today. So,
yeah. Interesting, right? Not really, though, just to the point of, like, we kind of see, like, a blockbuster trade, you know, at some point in every NFL season. Remember when Christian McCaffrey went all the way over to the 49ers? You know, obviously Montez Sweat, right, a season
last
ago.
Year.
I don't think people really knew how big that would be until you look at what the Bears became when he started for them in Week 9, and, you know, they have the second lowest scoring defense since he became a Chicago Bears, fewest points given up per game in the NFL in that span. So, whereby, by the way, the Commanders have the worst. So they give up more points than anybody in the NFL since Montez Sweat left. So it kind of makes you realize how important some of these trades come to be.
So, Stacey, for all the talk that is legitimate and justified about the NFC North being the best division in football and all the history being made with the teams having all the victories. Is there a sense, a growing sense, that there are the Lions and then there's everybody else because of what they were able to do in Minnesota without Aiden Hutchinson and how that offense is functioning at such a high level?
I don't think in the division that's the case, David. It's us and everybody else. Like, you're kind of scraps around us. Just look at the Bears. They're 4-2, and yes, they don't play a divisional game until Week 11, which is nuts to me. I mean, I don't know how all of their divisional games fall after Week 11. Like, that is just not – that's super weird. But the Bears are 4-2, and, you know, like, that's a pretty good record, but they're last in the division. I mean, we all watched Minnesota and Detroit play on Sunday. That could have gone either way. I mean – you're dealing with a quarterback in Jared Goff whose clock management at this point, nearly a decade in the NFL, is, you know, this is a guy, he's on the cusp of a Super Bowl at some point. Like, that's where he's at in terms of how he's playing football. He is the most efficient quarterback that I've sat down and just watched. I mean, he rarely has an incompletion. They are like a well-oiled machine offensively. I think where it gets real interesting, guys, is how good these defenses will be at the most important times in this division. Because I'm going to tell you right now, like, I've seen in person all of these defenses. I've covered every one of these teams. They are all very opportunistic. And the Chicago Bears right now have 54 points off of takeaways. That is second in the NFL. Guess who behind? The Minnesota Vikings. So when I look at this division, I look like, okay, they all got their thing going on with the offense, right? Jordan Love's a good quarterback. They're starting to, as one coach told me after the Bears' victory in London, the young man grew up with just even a little bit more today. Mm-hmm. Like, he is on the ascend, Caleb. He's getting better and better and better, especially under pressure and under duress. We know what Sam Darnold has done, and we obviously know what Jared Goff has done. I'm looking at these defenses and which one is going to win games, you know, weeks 11 through 18. And I think each of them have an argument to say we're pretty good. I mean, if there's one team who gives up a little bit in the pass game, it's the Detroit Lions, right? I mean, they will give up some stuff in coverage. So, you know, it's going to be – that's to me where who stays healthy, but then also, like, where these defenses kind of evolve for me and within the division.
Yeah, and I think with Hutchinson out, they also have other injuries. Their defensive line is really banged up. I'm curious as to whether or not they can or they will make a move, because that's the kind of team that is Super Bowl or bust. And it wouldn't stun me if they made a move, but I don't know how they do it.
I don't disagree with you, because they just, the problem is like, and Dan Campbell talked about it this week, is, you know, they felt like Sam Darnold had the ball just a little too long. Now, I would argue that offensive line in Minnesota is top five in the NFL, but hands down. But he was able to hold the ball because they just couldn't get home up front, Molly, to your point. And what does that do? Well, that's where you get exposed in coverage. And so you're right. I wouldn't put it past Brad Holmes to do something, you know, as we sit here entering week eight. But I also wouldn't put it past Ryan Poles to do something. I have no doubt that he's making phone calls right now about how they can put this. Now, this is all about a divisional race at this point to me, because, I mean, like, look at this game this week. The Bears have had a schedule that has enabled Caleb to grow and develop. The defense was winning for them at the start of the season. If they won a game, that's what it was because of, right? I think we can all agree. But now their offense is starting to figure out how to use, you know, for instance, DeAndre Swift, and who has the second most scrimmage yards in the NFL since week four. It's been really brilliant to see his evolution in the offense. And so but that's just one part. That is one aspect. We haven't seen Romo Odunze have that type game, right, where we're waiting for it. It's coming. It's just a matter of when. So the schedule has been favorable, but now we're looking at these, like, what is going to push us over the top in the NFC North if you're the Bears or you're the Lions? And defensively, certainly to your point, Molly, there's no greater loss up front than an Aiden Hutchinson. I mean, it's catastrophic for any defense to lose a player like that.
So the Commanders come in, and with Jaden Daniels, they've been one of the most efficient, explosive offenses in the NFL. Without him, it's still a very good offense to be, I think, respected, if not feared, because Cliff Kingsbury has a way of scheming guys open, and you like what you've seen in the first part of this season. Stacey, how much of a challenge will that be for a Bears defense that has held their last 12 opponents to 21 points or fewer?
I don't think the Bears fear anybody defensively. That is a group, like, again, when you're down beside their group and you're sitting like a fly on the wall in a game with their defensive line coach coming over and their linebackers coach coming over and Flus coming over, they think they can beat anybody. And they're going to face a Commanders team. Yeah, they lead the league, and I think they're tied for first in 31 or 2 points per game. Jaden Daniels, I think he'll play. I don't know. Obviously, I'm not there. But everybody keeps saying it's not that serious. It's not serious. Well, to me, when I keep hearing that recurringly about his ribs injury, that means that there's no fractures. So it could be a very bad contusion where he got hit on the first snap last week and had to leave the game. But, you know, their two losses this season are to teams with winning records. I guarantee you the Bears have talked about that. No game is easy in the NFL, but Tampa and Baltimore beat the Commanders. So I just think, you know, the psyche and the mindset, if I were to guess with this Bears defense, is it's kind of the mindset of Jalen Johnson. He thinks he's the best corner in the NFL. The Bears think they have the best defense in the NFL, and I don't think they care who they play right now.
This segment with Stacey Dales is brought to you by McGrath, Acura, and Westmont. When you do the math, you'll choose McGrath. Stacey, I'm wondering, you know, you talk about the aggressiveness of Poles, and you're sure he's working on something, and I don't deny it. I don't doubt it. I'm wondering if you could, when he calls you to say, hey, I'm thinking about doing this, what would you tell him to do? What does Stacey Dales say? No, go get this instead.
Oh my God, we're living in fantasy land here. Give me my pick of my litter, right?
What would you gift the Bears if you could?
If I could gift the Bears anything, I would gift them a Max Crosby opposite Montez Sweat.
Wow.
And
that's a good answer. That's a very good answer.
That would be my, if I had to circle a guy, not only because of the teammate that the guy is, but like just how hard he works, his motor, in a perfect world, yeah, I think Montez Sweat would fit very nice, Max Crosby would fit very nicely opposite Montez Sweat. And now you have a situation where you have two headaches and you've got to figure out how to scheme around them with one of the top, I would say, 3 to 5, like the Bears' secondary is unbelievably good. I don't use that word a lot, but they're really good. They're playing together. The whole defense plays together. If I went to sleep and in my dreams I could find a player right now, that would be who it would be.
You know, the Bears' defense is, as you say, is fears nobody, and the numbers speak for themselves. And the Max Crosby idea is tremendous, Stacey. I don't know how realistic it is, but it would be fun. You look at the Packers' defense, and it has been opportunistic. And one of the biggest reasons maybe they are where they are, they certainly did a number on the Texans and C.J. Stroud. The Vikings defense going into that game. The question would be, like, when you look at the division, is it more defined by the defense of the respective teams or the quarterbacks? Because we always talk about the quarterbacks. What quarterback would you rather have for the next 5 years? What quarterback is doing this or that? But I think that this has become a defensive division.
Yeah, but I think if you go historically and look back at it, hasn't it always been...
Good point. Yeah.
A team that has the bruising defense that can stop the run in December and freaking like January.
Yeah.
Aren't those the teams, like when the Bears last won the division, it was the 2018 season, as we all know, and the double doink year. But that defense, I'll never forget talking to players. Danny Trevathan, it was in the locker room, I remember. He said, "We're never going to have this again." Like in the NFL, you play through this thing every single year. It is completely different. The energy changes, a player leaves, the dynamics change. When you get that, you have a special recipe and formula for success. I think the Bears have it. I think the Vikings have it. I think that they have really bought into Jeff Hafley in Green Bay. I think now it's going to be interesting to see the trajectory of the Lions without Aiden, because I mean, they're still pretty, like they're still figuring something. Like, Terrion Arnold's still figuring some things out. He gets a lot of penalties as a rookie. Like, you know, when you're down the stretch in the NFC North in these big momentous must win, truly what is a must win game? Those penalties aren't going to fly in December, like for your team. So I just think that there's what they're doing in Minnesota on that sideline in London, and then when I just being around the Bears as much as I am, these are special groups and very unselfish. Like talking with Jonathan Grenard, who's, you know, how Houston let him out of their hands, I don't know, but like they all feel like in Minnesota they have something to prove, and so you get that kind of moxie with your group. I just think it's hard when you're playing together. Like the Chiefs defensively play really well together, and obviously Chris Jones is a big part of that. But I think you're seeing a tightness in a couple of these North defenses that's really special, and it's going to help them in the playoffs unquestionably.
What do you think of the Bears' chances in Washington? Does it come down to whether or not the quarterback plays? I think they're still pretty good with Mariota, but I'm curious. Do you like the Bears in the spot?
The Commanders. Listen, the Commanders, they put in Marcus Mariota, and he has 6 straight scoring drives.
Yeah.
He's a great improviser. Still, he's been around a lot of football, but. I don't know. I mean, the thing about Jaden Daniels is his completion percentage has been off the charts, like 76%. So what is that? Like, to me, that is Cliff Kingsbury's putting him in really good situations. You guys said, like, they're getting the ball in space to create easy throws for him, and I think they did that early. They're obviously scoring points at a really high rate. But I just, it's the NFL. Like I don't think that if, oh, Jaden Daniels is going to play, it's an automatic win for the Washington Commanders. No, because Caleb is growing at a very rapid pace. We haven't even talked about him, but you know, since week four, I think when I went back and looked a couple days ago, you know, against pressure, right? That's what we all wanted to know with Caleb Williams. Like, when was that light going to switch in his mind? And I think I said this to you guys last week. Two things that have stood out for the Bears when it comes to Caleb Williams: his vision at the line of scrimmage and his command. Those two things have improved, and they've improved so much that he's averaging about 9 yards per attempt against pressure since week four. So that jumped from like three. Remember all those, like, go back and look at some of the tape on some of those early throws. And now he's not only hitting some of those underneath things, but now the downfield ball has come alive. So he's growing exactly the way they want him to. And I think he's going home, by the way. He's from out there.
Right.
He's probably
going
to have a large fan base of family and friends. I think, and I said this last week, and I truly believe this. There's no moment, I believe, that's going to be too big for Caleb Williams. Having been around him, his level of accountability, and his fixation on improving his mistakes over his achievements is, to me, what's going to keep him on the upward trajectory.
Great stuff, Stacey.
Thanks, Stacey.
You're back. Welcome. Glad you enjoyed the bye week, and have a good time at the Lions-Titans game.
Thanks, guys. Look forward to next week, and it's always great to be with you.
That is Stacey Dales, and, you know, I didn't say it to her, but you did predict earlier that Montez Sweat would lead both teams in sacks in this game. I don't know how he's going to do it.
I don't think I said that.
Didn't you say that earlier?
No, I said that he did that last year.
Oh, I misunderstood.
Last year, and he was traded mid-season.
Didn't they have to stop him from hitting Caleb during the...
He did.
Yeah.
He thought he was in a commander's uniform again.
I thought you were implying that he was going to be sacking both quarterbacks again.
No, I think that he will have his own motivation.
How about him and Max Crosby on the same
line? Oh, my gosh.
Seriously.
That is the best answer because it still keeps that kind of hope alive a little bit.
But here's the problem. Like, the minute they don't make that move, I become hugely disappointed.
Yeah, well, it's okay to be hugely disappointed. As long as Max Crosby is still being shopped, as long as he's still saying things that make it clear that he wants out until he lands under the new team, because it could be the Lions.
It's going to be the Bears.
Okay.
They're going to trade Nate Davis for him, what I'm thinking.
Now you're talking clickbait.
Oh, there,
now
there
you're
I
Mr.
go
clickbait.
Again. I thought
there
you were
again.
The clickbait
No, that's
guy.
You. It's you.
Okay, I knew it was one of us.
You and your socks jacket.
That's a sweet jacket. Cold. Thank you, buddy.
That's a very nice jacket.
I got it when Tony La Russa was the manager the first time.
Huh?
It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
The rib injury, which actually happened on that first long run, did play some snaps after, but did not look like himself, ended up watching the game from the sideline. My understanding is his status for this Sunday's big-time showdown with the Chicago Bears and Caleb Williams, a game so attractive it was actually flexed to the 4 p.m. spot. That is now very much in doubt. It is not a major injury. This is not something that's going to keep him out multiple games, but from my understanding, this is something to monitor, something to watch. It's something where it really depends on how he responds to treatment. You know, during the game, his mom, Regina, tweeted, he's fine. And that was kind of the last anyone said of it. Dan Quinn talking to reporters today saying, well, he's week to week, but he hopes that Jaden Daniels will be out Sunday. This is their franchise quarterback. He is someone who has clearly altered the face of their entire organization. They're going to be more cautious than anything when it comes to putting him on the field this Sunday.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to The Score. That is Ian Rappaport from the NFL Network reporting what we kind of talked about yesterday. Actually, was it Monday when the report came out? We talked about it yesterday. Mm-hmm. That week to week was an unusual designation from Dan Quinn. The two of us wondered about it. Dustin thought that it might have been some sort of mind games type of thing. Dave felt that he's going to play, but it was just a weird designation.
It was, and I think that's good information from Ian Rappaport, yeah. And I think he put it in the same terms that we were thinking about it. There's tremendous risk involved if you bring back any player, but your franchise quarterback from an injury. It seems easier to say, shoot him up, numb the pain, let him play through it. If it's not a broken rib, then it's nothing to worry about. Easy to say.
Yes.
When you're talking about a guy who is to the Washington Commanders what Caleb Williams is to the Chicago Bears.
Right.
And so put yourself in that situation. If Caleb Williams were coming off a similar injury, would you want to rush him back onto the field if you had a competent, capable backup like Marcus Mariota, and the Bears would believe in Tyson Bagent in that comparison? So I think that if they were going to err, it's going to be on the side of caution.
So you want Bagent to start on Sunday. Is that what we're hearing
Commanders.
Now?
Yeah, no.
Clickbait.
No. Clickbait. Thank you. No.
Hey, before Chicago takes on Washington, make sure you tune in Sunday from noon to 3 for your local Ford dealers pregame show right here on 670 The Score. It's presented by Aurelio's. You can join the great Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley and some guy named Mully, and they'll get you set for the game. Then immediately following the game, the same three people will be back with instant reaction on the Great Clips postgame show presented by Sony Pictures, Wonderverse, Chicago, and TimberTech Decking and Railing. All of it can be heard on The Score and the Odyssey app.
So that's Sunday. We're going to talk about it more tomorrow and Friday. Yes. The countdown is on. We'll get the injury report later today. A lot of information will be contained in that injury report. But tonight, Mully, tonight is the beginning of the Bulls season. They open a new season on the road against the Pelicans in New Orleans. Pregame coverage right here on The Score, 6:45 with Chuck. Tip-off at 7. Chuck Swirsky, Bill Wennington on the call, on The Score, and the Bulls radio network. I think the Bulls, I think they win tonight. I think they win tonight because they are in a position where they might be playing a compromised Pelicans roster without Zion Williamson if he doesn't play because of the illness yesterday. I just also think that of the 5 games that they begin the season playing on the schedule, this may be the most winnable, so they can't afford to lose it.
How much of David's money would you bet on that? 312-644-6767. You what are you?
They are a 6.5-point underdog, so that's pretty. Pretty significant.
That's a bold statement.
I'm just saying,
Mr.
like
Hall.
if you're with David, like you may, as they like to say, sprinkle a little.
I thought I was Mr. Chalky Chalk Chalk. I thought you dubbed me that. I'm going out on a limb here. I'm picking a 6-point underdog.
I think it's your skin tone.
I'll predict right now on the 23rd.
It's bad lighting.
Is it the 23rd day of October?
Right? Yes.
Okay.
October 23rd.
When we fill out our brackets for the tournament in March, good Lord willing, that you will have 3 number one seeds in your final 4.
Why do you have to bring that up?
Because that's where this came from.
Okay.
That's where Mr. Chalkity Chalk came from.
You might be right.
I'm referencing and giving everybody a little backstory.
Okay, that's good. That's good background. You're whiteboarding it for people.
If I'm not mistaken, Connecticut is going for a three-peat.
Yes.
As are the Chiefs, who just made a big trade. Who's more likely to get their three-peat, Mr. David?
Connecticut.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I got to think the Chiefs are going to get beaten. I got to think at some point in time.
Don't they still have the same quarterback?
Yes, they do. I just don't want to go into – I don't know. I don't want that to happen. I'm going to speak it to existence like you try do so many times.
Thank you, buddy.
Tell me this, though. The Bulls' first 5 games, where else are they going to get a victory? They play Friday against the Bucks in Milwaukee. Then they come home to play
– Saturday, right?
That's no, Friday, they got the Bucks night. In Milwaukee.
Okay, Saturday. I'm
Saturday, they're home against the Thunder.
That's what I was saying.
Monday,
they totally beat the Thunder. It's the Josh Giddey revenge game.
Really? Okay. No. You don't believe that for a minute.
And I picked them to win the championship, so it's
Bulls, Grizzlies in Memphis on Monday. In Memphis, after playing back-to-back Friday, Saturday, take a day off, then go play Monday in Memphis?
Yeah, you get... Zoe comes back for that game.
Then they come back Wednesday, October 30th, and play the Magic, which have Magic roster full of talent.
You believe in Magic?
I think I do this year.
The young girls are?
I do. I always believe in magic. So I think when you look at those five opponents,
yeah, you're right.
The Pelicans are the best opportunity tonight.
Have we decided that Zion Williamson is out?
I haven't decided that. I think his doctor will determine that, but he was ill.
You're making a prediction based on him being
out. It's the NBA. Joel Embiid's out indefinitely. Paul George is going to skip the game.
But those guys are hurt. There's a difference. Is Zion hurt or is he sick?
I don't know that there's ever a distinction with him. It's always a guy who misses too many games.
Did he blow out a sneaker?
I don't know. Remember when he did that years ago.
He dropped some weight. He's got himself on the right path a little bit.
All right.
Because he could be a dynamic NBA player.
Don't you remember how much people thought about him coming to Chicago? How much fun that would be, and if he would have been drafted. That would have been Zion Williamson coming into the league. Based on those expectations, I think that we can all agree he's kind of fallen short of them.
I don't know if you saw this or not. I find this really funny. It's NBA connected. Quincy Olivari is a guy that ended up making the Lakers roster. He was kind of a late addition, a big moment.
Who's
for the
he related
kid.
To?
He was. He's. Mom Olivari must have been part of the front office. Anyway, they ran a picture of him on ESPN, and they included the photo of Dalton Connect. And Dalton Connect is like a taller white guy, and he's a shorter black man. And his mom came out and said, "Hey, ESPN, why don't you use this photo with a full shot of
That's
her son
funny.
In a Laker uniform?" And they had like a huge laugh.
That's very funny.
Isn't that great?
It is funny. Also, you mentioned Dalton Connect.
Yes.
Boy, I am excited as the next guy about Matas Bezelis.
Yes.
I think that he's going to be a very good player in the NBA. I still wonder with the Bulls in their new configuration and style of play. They passed on Dalton Connect at 11. Was it 11?
Yes.
They were drafting
11.
It was 11. And
he went to 17, I believe, right?
Yeah, and he's off to a pretty promising. I don't know what he did last night, but he had a good preseason. He can shoot it, and I'm going to keep an eye on Dalton Connect, and this season I'm going to constantly in my head, maybe not to the I'll give it voice, but I'm going to be connecting and comparing Dalton Connect with Matas Bezelis.
I'm almost positive you just gave it voice.
Yeah, he actually led the NBA, I think, rookies preseason in scoring, so he's doing a good job.
Yeah, he's a pretty good player. Pretty
I gave it voice today.
Career.
I'm not going to do it after every game.
Okay.
16 minutes, I think, for Connect last night.
Okay.
Let's see what he did.
More than Bronny or less?
Bronny had four.
He had 5 points, 1 for 3 from 3-point land, 2 for 4 overall.
Just getting started.
All right.
We'll keep an eye. Will Bezelis have more or less than 5 points tonight?
How old is Dalton Connect?
Yeah, he's about 23. He's got a little Velus Jones in him.
Yeah, and we're talking about a 19-year-old. I'm just saying, if we're going to be fair about it, let's do it for years.
No, I'm being fair about it. They're both rookies. They're both rookies.
In 5 years, I want you to do another update. No, I'm just kidding. I think, yeah, I'll go with plus. What is the over-under 5 points? I'll go over.
You think Bezelis will have more than five tonight?
I do.
Okay.
I do. Why not?
Who leads the Bulls in scoring tonight?
Zach LaVine.
I think so, too.
Yeah, 24
I might argue
points.
That he doesn't play 5 minutes tonight.
Bezelis.
Billy's going to teach him a lesson.
I think Bezelis plays more than 5 minutes
tonight.
I'm
not letting go of that. I do think there is something still there.
I know you do. That's
I do think that's still
that's
an issue.
That's why I love bringing it up with you.
I think Zach leads him in scoring. Bezelis plays 11 minutes. And Lonzo Ball is going to be interesting to see his usage. If he has 4 4-minute stints, I am fascinated by the fourth stint. Because when do those 4 minutes come? Fourth quarter early? Is he closing with Lonzo?
How many attempted threes? That's another fun
for Lonzo or
no,
for
no,
the Bulls?
For the
Bulls? 45.
Oh.
45.
I'll go over. If you're setting the number, I'll go over 45.
Okay.
I think 45 is probably where you want to be every night.
Didn't they average 47 or 48 in the preseason?
Preseason. They're trying things.
Okay.
Throwing things against the wall.
I think that's a fun one to take a look at, to keep an eye on as this goes.
It will be.
Do you have a number? Do you have a
a number of how what the over under is for a number of three attempts?
I have not seen that posted yet.
All right.
Dustin thinks it should be 50. Option. Dustin wants Billy Donovan every night to
go into the whiteboard.
Like Gene Hackman in Hoosiers and write on the board 50 and circle it.
Yeah.
This is our team.
Okay.
Let's, want him to go to the Pelicans the court tape. And take a tape measure to the 3-point line.
Yeah.
Not the rim, but from the base, from the hoop. Okay.
I love that movie. That movie in part for that. That was one of the greatest. And I love having gone to Butler and they have elements of that movie playing. They show that scene. You go into a room and they got it on TV.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, you know, I love Butler. I love everything about Hoosiers.
Oh, it was cool to see that stadium for the first time.
Hinkle?
Yeah.
Hinkle Fieldhouse?
We took a tour.
Classic. Classic basketball arena. Not only in Indiana, but college basketball and what it means to a state obsessed with the sport.
If David was taking you there, he would stop at the bar first. Right?
Definitely. Bobby Plump's last shot.
Bobby Plump. Yeah.
Definitely have been there several times.
David had all kinds of good recommendations. We went to somewhere he suggested to eat.
I like the old Broad Ripple, the neighborhood.
Did Bobby Plump, did he open that bar after the movie came out, or had he always had it?
That's a good question. I think he probably always had a degree of celebrity in that community because he was Butler. So even before the movie, it was a big deal. Probably more people. I don't know when they opened that. Yeah. Probably after the movie, though.
What I'm saying is, was he a barman or was he a bar owner before the movie came out, and then that just added
I think he's
to
actually
in
insurance. I think he sold insurance for years.
Is that right?
Yeah, I do.
So he would burn down various bars to get the insurance money.
That's really mean.
It's a joke. I don't mean it.
Clickbait.
I love a Bobby Plump.
Hey, this headline is interesting before we get out of here and get the transition. The Chicago Red Stars are getting a new name.
Huh?
Yes. This morning, as the Chicago Tribune reports, the Chicago Red Stars have unveiled a new team name and crest for the 2025 season. We are re-upping our commitment to the city, according to the Tribune. That's from Laura Ricketts. And they're going to be known moving forward as the Chicago Stars Football Club. First major brand change since they were founded in 2006.
Stars FC. What was the red for?
I don't know. Why
were they the Red Stars?
Not quite sure.
Now they're just the Stars.
Stars.
FC.
Yeah.
I like it.
Subtle change, but significant one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They got some good players on that team. That I told you, Mallory Swanson, significantly better at her sport than her husband. And that's not a knock against him. She's just a tremendous soccer player. She's one of the three best in the United States.
No doubt about that. So Laura Ricketts getting things done, making some moves with the Chicago Stars, the new name.
Stars FC.
All right, Chicago Stars FC.
Club.
Do you think people are going to remember the FC part?
I hope so.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Let me ask something. When you talk about the AFC or the NFC, don't you remember?
Yes, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, soccer maven. Soccer maven. What else did I call you earlier today? Football savant.
Yeah, that was kind.
NBA savant.
Yeah, I don't know. Savant isn't exactly
soccer maven. A... NBA savant.
Football. Why must I be derided publicly?
I'm not deriding you publicly. Those are compliments.
Oh, that was privately?
Not privately either. Hey,
a savant isn't a compliment. Not necessarily.
Yes, it is.
No, it implies expertise at one thing, like idiot savant. You're basically calling me an idiot.
I'm not calling you an idiot at all.
Why are we calling me an idiot now?
I don't know that that's accurate, actually.
Okay, let's look it up.
A savant is a person with a high level of knowledge or skill, especially someone who is less able in other ways.
See? Thank you.
I go with the first part of the reference.
Not a compliment. All right, we've got, I believe it's a Layla Wednesday. How about that?
Yes.
We'll talk to our colleagues, Layla and Marshall and Dan, next on The Score.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.